So when you think of what the shops were like in those days, what were they like in those days and how has it changed? Are many of the old shops still there?
No, there are no shops that I can recall there at all now. They've all been replaced. On the corner of Station Street was the a garage, which is where Norman Ross is now. Where our house was in High Street, which was next door to Tats Hotel, is Venture, and the Venture Arcade, and the Penrith Centre is where Tats Hotel was. And across the road, which was taken up from Station Street west by a small weatherboard grocery and hardware and sweet shop, that is all now Best and Less and Skipton's Arcade, and then going down to Riley Street corner, that was a grocery shop there, and which was Mr. Masters, and he has a place named after his business, Masters Place. Park west, and still going west, it's where there used to be a blacksmith's, or tank maker actually. That's all shops now down to that five-storey building, which I think is a built by one of the insurance companies, but I'm not sure. That was all open space. And across the road, opposite there, my mother's cousins had a big home, and that is now a big service station. Actually, there aren't any of those original places left. Maybe down past Worth Street, which is still going west, there are a few houses there which have been taken over by, I don't think they're there now. I think that was BBC pulled those houses down. Then opposite there, which is the Penrith Plaza, that used to be all open space until Mr. Hungerford came, and he was a veterinary and a surgeon, and he had quite a big area there which Penrith Plaza bought. But past there, where the James Sutherland Centre is now, that was just all open space. And then across the road from that there were Chinese vegetable gardens. And that's where the what gardens are they now? Woodruff Gardens.
Oh, yes. Did you get your vegetables from the market garden?
No. I think he used to come around with a horse and cart. But we used to go down to the milk factory. The milk factory was going. And we used to go down to the milk factory on Sunday morning and buy a whole billy can of cream for a shilling.
Really?
And until they started pasteurising the cream, because of course in those days I suppose it was all full of bacteria.
So shopping in those days was quite a different experience to shopping now. Do you feel that the urbanisation has made shopping better for women now, or did you enjoy it more in those days?
Well, I'd have to say that I probably enjoyed it more in those days because I didn't have the trauma of always having to try and find a parking place, which is quite a serious problem because it makes you very cross and you can get very uptight trying to find a parking place in Penrith now. And not only that, but having made a mall of the central part of High Street and one-way streets where we had two-way streets before, and you've really got to plan your modus operandi before you can get anywhere now. You can't just tootle around, and to try and tell somebody who's a stranger which roads they can drive up, and where, and as well as that too, that parking area that was behind High Street on the southern side is now being made into a big multi-storey car park. At the moment it's completely, you know, not being able to be used, so consequently it's depleted the parking area again. No, I'd say that our old days of shopping were more leisurely and easier to park. I mean, you used to be able to park your car in High Street. That's practically unheard of now. And then for any serious shopping, I always went to Sydney.
Oh, we always did.
Yes, we always did.
When you say serious shopping, for clothes?
Buying clothes, yes. I'd buy something locally, I suppose, because, you see, I was used to shopping in Sydney because I'd worked in Sydney for, 5 or 6 years anyway. So Sydney was my stamping ground as far as shopping went.
Did you find
shopping.
The fashions better in Sydney, or the prices?
Oh, well, we really only had Fletcher's and Neil's. Then we had some boutique type shops like the Elliot sisters. They had Dorothy Elliot and her sister. They had two shops which were really good fashion shops. And they would have a mannequin parade every change of season. And they were fairly up to date. Really quite up to date, but not cheap. They were sort of expensive. As far as shoes were concerned, I always had to shop in town for shoes because I took a AAA fitting, which you just simply didn't buy in Penrith. And so consequently, I was always only interested in shoes in Sydney because they were the only ones I could buy, you know, get the things I wanted. As far as underwear and general purpose clothing, in the early days, in those 1940s, we had a shop called the Chick Salon.
Oh.
And do you remember the Chick Salon?
I heard of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to bought a lot of my underwear and things there, and they had quite nice things in Penrith. And then they had another crowd called Douglas Stores. I think that was a fairly ordinary sort of a store. And I'm just trying to think. And then, of course, we had Woolworths and Coles, all in High Street. But then I just can't sort of think now. I think that the main stores were Neil's and Fletcher's.
Mm. Mm. And when you travelled into the city, did you go by train?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm. Always went by train.
Steam train
until the electric trains came. And that was in about 1960, I think, or 58, The line was electrified through to Penrith. I just can't remember that. But it was steam train.
I think it was about 55 that it was electrified.
No, I just can't remember. But it was always, you know, steam trains we went by. And when we were going to work from Penrith to Sydney, we went in the Fish.
Oh.
And eventually the Fish became fairly crowded, and they started a second division from Penrith called, and which we, on Monday morning, which we named the Chips. And so they're still called the Fish and Chips now, but they're very different to what they were then. They still have I think they still have their personalities who travel every day in there. You know, we always had a reserved compartment.
You'd get to know.
And, it was like our old home week. And we used to have, at Christmas time, we'd have a sort of a break-up party or a Christmas party in the train. The boys always used to play 500, and the girls always used to knit, I guess, and read books. And then the chips started going down every day, and it started from Springwood, and the fish used to stop at Springwood, and it went through, straight through. So you'd stand on Penrith Station, and the fish had come through with its 36 class engine on the front, and it would just thunder through. But they were really very emotional about steam trains. Anyway, that was good.
So was the electric train much quicker?
Well, I didn't ever get to travel. By that time I was married and very settled down doing a housewife. No, the electric train was not quicker. The fish, I think, broke a speed record at one stage, but I can't remember all those sort of details. The fish used to take 55 minutes from Penrith to Sydney, and I actually arrived in my office before one of the chaps I worked with who lived at Earlwood. And I used to get there, I used to leave home and I'd get there. He'd leave home at the same time and I'd be there before him.
Amazing.
Yes, it was amazing. So it had a very good, we had a very good service actually, very fast service, and the electric trains aren't any faster, albeit they're cleaner I guess, but from Lapstone up here, it takes exactly 1 hour in a fast train to get to Sydney, so it's still pretty good.
Mm.
It's very good, really.
So, getting back to your children and their education, what grades did they reach at school, and did they go on to tertiary education?
Yes, they went through the whole school system at Penrith. And they both did their... Oh, well, no, just a moment. No, our elder daughter, the change came. She did her leaving certificate at Penrith High School. And our younger daughter was the first class through on the Wyndham scheme. And she went and did her sixth high school certificate. And they did quite well, really. And although I was upset about the Wyndham scheme, it disrupted our daughter's education, I thought. I felt that they did one whole year wasted. It was just wasted that first year because it was really just an orientation into the high school system. It wasn't anything to do with education at the time. I'm cranky about that every time I think about it. However, she did quite well eventually, and they went on to Teachers College, each of them in their turn, of course. There were 3 years difference.
Was that a local college? Or?
No, they both went to Bathurst, and it was a residential college. And I felt that at the time, that the age they were, that it wasn't a bad thing to get out of the house and live away from home for a couple of years, which they did because they were both only... two-year train, they're not, the three-year training didn't come until later, but by the same token, I still feel that their standard was a lot higher because they had to each do, and this was even with the 3 years difference, they both had to do a spelling test. This was in conjunction with the leaving certificate, and they were only allowed 2% error, and they both, in their separate way, they both coped with that all right. Fortunately, they're good spellers. But also, they had to be bonded, and we had to have guarantors and for their education. The they had a book allowance from the department of $80 a year, I think it was, $80 a year. But and they also had to contribute to their keep. So the allowance that they got while they were at Teachers' College, this was through the scholarship, the allowance that they got really only contributed to their board and lodging. And then they got the $80. I think it was 80. I'm not sure about that, you see. A book allowance, anyway. So we had to subsidise their living expenses for tissues and stockings and shoes. And we, of course, naturally, of course, we bought all their clothes till they graduated. And after that, they earned quite good money themselves. However, they lived at home, and each one separately. I'm not grouping them together because they both went through at different stages. And we didn't ask them to pay board. They paid a very nominal amount, actually. was just a token thing, really, because they were both saving up for a car at the time. And actually what my father-in-law did, he subsidised them buying the car, and they paid him back. And they both did that. He did that for each of them, and they both did that, and he let them both off the last $100 because they were such regular players.
And were you working yourself at this stage? Or
No. I never worked during our marriage until my father-in-law died. And when he died, he'd worked right up until he was 82, and he was still working down at the Nepean Times. And when he died, I went down there and decided that why should my husband be paying this office girl when I could do the work? And I had nobody at home now. Our girls were married, and I thought, well, I might as well have the money. So I went down there, and I worked there for 17 years in the office until we retired four years ago, 1987, yes, 4 years ago.
So in the early days, when you were at home working at home, how did you organise the finances at home? Who was in charge of the household accounts?
How
did you manage your money?
We've always managed our money together. It's never been, it's always been a very much partnership as far as our money is concerned, although Roger earned it. What did we do? We had a very strict budget, actually, because we weren't well off. Working for his father wasn't, the greatest job, and he didn't benefit by the award. Well, I suppose he was paid strictly to the award, not a penny over. So we had quite a battle when we were first married as far as the finances went, and we even budgeted right down to buying two magazines a week and the paper every day, so that kept us fairly on a fairly tight rein. But we went for holidays with we nearly always, when our girls were little, we nearly always had our spent some time with his family for holidays, until about when our younger daughter was five, then we started having our own separate holidays, and we used to go to Avoca, and we went to Avoca every year for 25 years until we built our own beach house at McMaster's Beach, and which was lovely. And then we went there for our holidays, of course, and every other opportunity that we could get, because we was a nice house. And consequently, because we always went to the beach in the summertime, and our holidays had to be in the summer because that's when all the printing houses closed, so we were forced to have our 3 weeks holiday over Christmas, which was the most expensive time to rent holiday houses too, and especially in Avoca.
You said because it was a beach.
We never went anywhere else.
Mm.
So I was I only had a very narrow sort of circle of where I'd been. I hadn't been north of Newcastle or south of the ACT. So it wasn't until we sold our beach house in 1988 that we started to go anywhere other than to the beach. So.
And when you were talking about managing the money,
again,
were you in charge of paying the accounts, or did your husband do that?
Well, I suppose I paid the he paid the electricity, paid all those things by check. So whatever it was, we just wrote a check. I paid the grocery bills, I suppose, and the.
You used cash, you know,
I just used cash. We didn't have cash. We didn't have plastic cards.
No.
Since we've got plastic cards, I suppose we book anything up on bank card that's big and a bit of a surprise, maybe. You know, if we go out for dinner, we usually use the bank card.
In those days, it was all cash.
Always cash. Mm-hmm. It was always cash. We paid. We paid our rates, electricity. What other bills did you have?
Telephone.
Telephone.
Did you have a telephone?
Oh,
in the 50s?
When we were living in Lethbridge Street, no, we didn't have a phone there. I used my mother's phone, who was right next door, so that was no problem. As far as using the phone was concerned, that's another interesting part, I suppose, is that doing everything in Penrith, there was very little reason to, and having everybody in Penrith, there was very little reason to ring anywhere else.
Mm.
Although I always remember ringing David Jones, because we hadn't always had an account at David Jones, and I can remember ringing up, I don't know what possessed me, and I said, "It's Mrs. Collis of St. Mary's speaking." And I'd never lived in St. Mary's. And I often wonder what they thought. So anyway, those are the sort of silly things you do.
Telephones, were not everyone had those. What about electrical appliances? Did you have
refrigerators? Oh, yes. I had a refrigerator. Yes, we had a we started off with an ice chest, but we had a refrigerator, and which my mother-in-law loaned us, for which my mother-in-law loaned us the money. And we paid her off, and then we bought this block of land here, and she loaned us the money for that, and we paid her off there. So when you speak of parental support, we had a lot, a lot going for us, really.
So you had this land a long time before you moved here?
We bought this land in 1955, I think it was. 1955.
How large would this block be?
Well, it's I can't tell you in metres and whatever. I can tell you it's 60 feet wide by about 160 feet in depth. But I'm not really quite sure about that.
And where you lived in?
In Lethbridge Street.
It was
when my mother subdivided it, she, instead of two narrow blocks of land, which her house was built on, she subdivided across so that she had one wide block of land but not so deep, and we had a wide block of land and not so deep. So her frontage was about 100 feet. So her frontage would have been about 100 feet and our frontage would have been about 100 feet because the block was about 100 feet by 200. It was a big block of ground. And...
the when you had your children, did you plan your family at all?
Oh, very much so, very mm-hmm. much so. That was all planned, and I could always say I didn't have a baby I didn't want. We only had the two.
They weren't accidents.
No accidents mm-hmm. in our place.
And did your partner help in the child rearing? Your husband, did he help looking after the children and spend much time?
Oh, well, that's an interesting thing. Not like the husbands do now, in that he wasn't with me when I was in labour. The one person I would not like to have had near me was my husband. I couldn't wait for him to go. I don't hold with that, whatever anyone else says. Yeah. I think there's a psychological aspect of that I just don't like them being there. As far as helping looking after the baby, yes, he would... get up in the night if he heard them. I used to say, now, if you want anything in the night, call out to Daddy. But Daddy would always low a doggo, so Mummy always got up. But as my mother used to point out, he has to get up and go to work in the morning, so you can always have a little rest during the day, which is what I did. And when they went to sleep during the day, I'd lie down and I'd read, because I was always a great reader. And I'd have a rest then. I've never been a great housekeeper, mind you. I'm not a fanatic housewife. Yes, he always was a great support, really. Not that he changed a lot of nappies and heated up bottles and things like that. But he was always a great moral support, and he, if any ticking off of children had to be done, he could always tick them off, and they always did what he said, which, you know, didn't ever seem quite fair to me, but it still seems to hold, you know, the same. They'll still take more notice of a male voice than they will of a female voice, you know.
With the introduction of immigrants from Europe after the war, did this affect your life or the life in the community at all?
Let me see. No, actually, we made some good friends from immigrants from Wales it didn't affect us there. The people who came to Penrith to live were mostly business people who set up in St Mary's ex-explosives factory. They made into an industrial area, estate actually it was called, and a lot of people with their different expertise came and set up these different businesses there and lived in Penrith and built very nice homes, and we became quite friendly with quite a few of them. But they were British immigrants. Now, I haven't had a lot to do with other people from the Asian countries. I'm in no way have I any racial prejudices. I do feel that immigration, as it is not quite right, because there's always going to be resentment if they come and take the jobs, and that's what's happening in Britain now, and what's happening, it's going to happen here. And while ever that resentment is there, there'll always be friction. And so basically, I don't believe in this unrestricted immigration.
And what about at the end of the war, when a lot of the displaced people from Europe were coming out here? You didn't actually have much contact with them in Penrith?
No, not in Penrith. There were a lot of them in Sydney, a lot of people, which, and they call them refugees, which became a sort of dirty word, really. Mm. They didn't like that. And yet I have friends now who came here at that particular time, and the people who live next door to us at McMaster's Beach, they were Hungarian refugees, if you like, for want of a better word. Very nice people and very appreciative of the Australian way of life. Couldn't speak highly enough of Australia, actually, the people I've come across. The people that I'm thinking of now had a very hard time as POW, not POWs, they were in German concentration camps. Mm. And also our daughter went to school with a girl whose parents were in Auschwitz, and they had out of their four children, two retarded children, and they had a very, very hard time. So all the people that I came across, I've liked and respected. I think they've had a very difficult time. So I've got, I've got some good friends who have been ex-European and ex-POWs, not prisoners of war. That's not right, is it? It's
the
concentration camps. Mm. Yes.
And
they've come out here and they've done very well, very well. One particular couple. Mm.
And what about the churches in the area? Do you think the church has played an important role in the...